since 1998. Visit them at WedellandSons.com. This is In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
Good morning. Welcome to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you. Welcome back to your work week, to this Monday. I'm pretty energized. And we got a good program for you today. We got Dr. Timothy Schaefer, the Assistant Professor of Communication Studies at K-State, the Assistant Director of the K-State Institute for Civil Discourse and Democracy. Dr. Schaefer, do you want me to go with Dr. Schaefer or just Tim?
Either is fine. It's all about how formal you want to be this morning. So,
you're the guest, so I'll go with
Tim. Tim is fine.
Okay, we'll go with Tim. And great timing for you to be here. We were just talking about this before break. There's a lot to talk about.
Great and awful, I guess, depending on how you want to think about it. Yeah.
Did you get familiar before with Mr. Bowman? You could refer to him as Mr. Bowman now.
Mr. B.
Yeah, Mr. B. Yeah, just for a moment. Just for a moment. So we're gonna ease into this. We'll see how this goes, but I think we'll be good.
Yeah, and you know what? We're gonna actually open up with a little bit of breaking state news in a lot of ways. We understand that Chris Goback, of course, is our current Secretary of State, and he's running for governor, so he'll be vacating his seat, basically. And just announced this morning by the Kansas City Star that a new Democratic candidate for Secretary of State in Kansas was announced this morning, and it's Google Earth co-founder Brian McClendon, who has a lot of KU ties, born in Lawrence, and a pretty interesting submission there in that race.
Yeah, you know, it's these statewide positions, just kind of acknowledging that this was some of the news this morning, looking a little bit of the background, seeing folks, someone like him, coming back to a state like Kansas. There was a story earlier this spring about possible political aspirations. And so it'll be interesting. I think we're in for a very curious, possibly intriguing election cycle this year here in the state.
It is. And for McClendon, having money, having some backing is so important in any sort of race, especially when you're talking about a Secretary of State race. And I don't think there'd be any worries for him in that regard.
Yeah, you know, I think the only question is, and to what extent are people continuing to be intrigued by and be interested in people who are outside kind of the political scene, right? So here's another candidate who's not, a tried and true politician, so to speak, you know, kind of coming up through the ranks. So here's somebody who's operating, coming out, come from another perspective, and that may continue to be something interesting to folks, or given kind of the state of our national affairs, that may be waning a bit. We'll see.
That is the question, right? Because President Trump, obviously, one of his big things in 2016 was that he was this outsider, that he was this guy without any real political experience. But you do bring up a good point that, the approval ratings aren't very high right now for the president, and you do wonder if what used to be an advantage, maybe that's not an advantage anymore. I guess we'll find out.
Well, you know, there was an interesting comment, and, you know, not to have it sound in any particular way, but it was a commentary about the last election cycle, and then for recent elections, is that, you know, certain politicians can really run great elections, but not govern so well, right? And so here, I think we're seeing a little bit of an example of some of that challenge of as we'll talk about probably in a little bit with the shutdown. You've got people who don't understand some of the nuance of an issue that's really complex. It's the flip of the coin where people really like the idea of somebody coming in who's not, ingrained in the system. This is some of that challenge.
Brady Bowman with Dr. Timothy Schaefer, the Assistant Professor of Communication Studies at K-State. And you mentioned the shutdown. Let's go ahead and get into it. Is this something that Friday, were you surprised that it did get to this point, or was it kind of expected for you?
It was, I think, unfortunately expected, the way that the kind of brinkmanship had been working, the posturing that really was leading us up to that. It seemed like there were maybe a couple opportunities. I mean, and again, just to that moment, what we were saying a moment ago, is that in the White House, President Trump saying, know, I'll back one thing, and then it changes very quickly. And that's been one of the critiques from the Democratic side, is that we're not really sure what we're doing or what we should be doing, what should we be working towards. But yeah, it's not been totally surprising. I mean, there is a historical nature about what's going on right now, the fact that, you know, a single party is controlling and having this happen. There is going to be a procedural vote, I know, at noon. I guess that would be Eastern time. So we should know in a couple hours if there's you know, any break in the kind of logjam here. But it's an unfortunate reality that we're confronting right now. And I think, you know, this is one of the obstacles that I know when I've been on in the past talking about issues of civil discourse and things at that federal level, it's really critical for us to be able to, for politicians to be able to put aside a little bit, maybe some of the rhetoric, some of the positioning that they're leveraging in election cycles to really ramp up their supporters and their base on both sides, and really get down to the otherwise kind of unglorious role of doing governance, right? Passing bills, thinking about kind of the wonky stuff. That's what, at the end of the day, you have to do. The challenge is stepping back from that, you know, I guess maybe I could say precipice or whatever that is that we keep pushing ourselves towards, that it's really hard to navigate anything when we're so far down the road that it's really difficult to actually talk to each other.
And when it comes to the shutdown, this morning in our newscast, we talked a lot about what it means for Fort Riley right now and the Army post there in Junction City. As far as K-State, I know K-State does have a lot of federal functioning, mm-hmm. and federal funding going towards it. What does this
right.
mean for you guys?
So K-State is a land-grant university, which means we are one of the flagship public universities. Every state's got them. But part of what makes that interesting and unique is a couple things. One is that the cooperative extension system, probably a lot of listeners are familiar with their extension agents or were in 4-H as kids and things of that sort. Cooperative extension, the way that it gets to be, quote, cooperative is that it's funded by three parts, the state, the county, and then also the federal government. So here's one of these places where we have the potential, if this doesn't get addressed right along, to have some problems. There was a message that went out via extension at the university that said, for right now, even though the funding formula comes this way, we're primarily state employees, so we're going to keep going this way. But down the road a little bit, this is going to be a problem. The other part that's really significant is federal funds. So K-State does a lot of research, and a lot of that is federally funded, National Institutes for Health, Humanities, Sciences. All of that is literally closed down right now. So those are the things that, for someone like myself, I'm actually waiting to hear about some funding for a project. I know it's not going to happen right now, so I can quit looking, refreshing that browser. But the long-term effects, there are some potential impact, both long-term and really in the near term.
And we do have a phone call. Caller, you are on In Focus. Go right ahead.
Yes, I am retired. Well, I'm in my upper 70s. The last 5 years, and I worked for federal for about 40 years. I am wondering, I mean, there were federal shutdowns and all this kind of stuff when I was working, but why can't there be some bill where the president and these congressmen would not get paid like those of us, not getting paid now? I mean, that might shake them to some kind of a compromise so they could having a continuing resolution, at least.
Great question.
Yeah, no, thanks for that question. And in fact, there have been a group of members of Congress who are working right now to actually put forward a resolution that would in fact do exactly what you're saying. It would withhold their pay, and then it would also, and there was another one, I'm trying to remember who was putting this forward. It was a Democrat, but said, for every day of the shutdown, he was a senator, so the Senate would have to be in session from 8 a.m. till midnight. So they would have to be in quorum, which means they would have to either be on the floor or in kind of the adjacent spaces, so they couldn't leave. And all in efforts to literally keep people at their desks, so to speak, to do the work that they're supposed to do. I mean, this is a basic function of government, is that we collectively figure out how we're going to coexist, how we want to fund things, these types of things. And so when they're not doing the most basic of functions, people get understandably very frustrated. So your comment is well made.
Well, yes, and it just doesn't seem right that they get paid when some of these people, they have families, you know, and they're a manager or just a little man on the totem pole. I mean, they're really struggling, I'm sure. You
know? Oh, yeah, and there were, again, great comments. One of the... two things. I have some friends who live in the D.C. area, and a number of them are going to stay home today, right? They've been furloughed for the meantime. And the other piece, and I heard this earlier this morning, that, in fact, regarding the military, USAA, for example, is going to do no-interest loans to try to help some of the stopgap. I mean, there are larger issues of kind of the pay funding question, but in the immediate short term, this is one of those challenges that it really, really kind of messes people up in a very practical way.
I'm glad that there is some kind of a bill, and I guess, I don't know how much, but it's costing the taxpayers a lot of money when they're shut down also, I think.
That's the ironic piece, is that this, in fact, will cost more than just keeping things as status quo. And that's, I mean, so when you begin to understand some of the complexity of this, you can really see why it doesn't make a lot of sense in any way to do this other than to use it as a kind of a bargaining chip for something else, right? And that's what we're seeing. And that's why, you know, the Democrats are kind of holding on their positions, as well as the Republicans saying we're gonna stay where we are.
Well, I appreciate you answering my question, and I'll continue listening. So thank you very much.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you participate in the conversation.
Very good questions. Very good call. Phone lines are open the whole hour. We'll have Dr. Schaefer here, or Tim.
Yeah, either way.
The whole hour here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Let's go ahead and go to our first break. Come back and talk more local government, federal government, you name it, right here on News Radio KMAN.
KMAN Morning News is presented by Strecker Nelson.